Narda Zacchino spent 31 years at the L.A. Times as a reporter, editor, and vice president. She then became deputy editor of the San Francisco Chronicle. Now she's an author, and her second book is California Comeback, How a Failed State Became a Model for the Nation. Welcome.
Thank you, Warren.
If it were independent, California would be the seventh largest nation, no question. But how is it a model for the rest of the United States?
First of all, in the most recent weeks, California became the sixth largest economy
in the
world.
Moving up.
And how it's a model is that, first of all, in climate change, it's one of the leaders in the world in trying to combat climate change. So it's really strong on environmental issues. It has a very humane immigration policy, which has occurred a lot in the last two terms of Jerry Brown, a lot of advances for immigrants, undocumented. It is a model in terms of the economy at this point. Jerry Brown is a fiscal conservative, and he has kept a really tight reins on the budget of the state. On social issues, of course, gay marriage, it was a leader in the country. You know, those are the main issues in which California is a model, but also in terms of regulation, sensible regulation, which a lot of Republican-run states, they don't believe in regulation. So like Texas, which is often looked at as the other model, or Kansas or Florida. In the case of Texas, it's one of the most polluted states in the country. It has the number one position, or in the top five, in carcinogens in the water, in the air, toxic waste, hazardous waste, et cetera. It's a mess.
Okay, back to California. You say the economy is going very well, but that may be true in the Bay Area. Because of high tech and so on. It's less so in Southern California, and it's not going well at all in the Central Valley. So can you really say that the whole state has completely recovered?
No, you can't say that, nor can you say that, you know, life is great for everyone in California when you have so many people homeless in Los Angeles and in the Bay Area, and when you have major gentrification going on, which is outpricing anybody who has a middle-class job like a teacher. I don't think there's a place in San Francisco where a teacher could afford to live without getting together with four other people and living in a two-bedroom. It's not all golden. There has to be some more attention paid to these places in the state where, you know, there are problems. I think the drought has had major implications in the Central Valley. Of course, California is a blue state, red state. If you look in the Central Valley, it's mostly red state Republican conservatives, and on the coast, not so much. So there are a lot of people hurting in California.
So a magical economic turnaround is a bit strong.
Well, when he became governor, on the day he became governor and was sworn in, California had a $27 billion deficit. So that hurt everybody. That hurt schools. It hurt education. It hurt jobs. It hurt programs. It hurt people who worked for governments were going on forced furloughs. I mean, it was hurting a lot of people. And this, especially with Proposition 30, which Jerry Brown personally invested a lot of his effort in getting that passed and conveying to the people why that was so important.
What did it do?
Well, what it did was it got us out of, we went from a $27 billion deficit to a $4 billion surplus in just a matter of a few years, essentially. Not just Proposition 30, which I don't think we would be in the situation that we're in today without Proposition 30, because that was the tax increase on the rich. And by the way, some of the richest counties in the state voted for it in large numbers, like Marin and Santa Clara County. So that helped enormously.
But his critics say that despite all of that, he has failed to do the one thing that would help the state the most, and that is reform this tax system that depends, as you just indicated, on the rich, people with high incomes and profitable investment, because it means that when things go bad, then you cut all that revenue and it makes them worse.
Well, I think that's why he campaigned very heavily for the Rainy Day Fund, which now has a large surplus in it. And I looked at Jerry's history going back many, many years from the time he was on the school board, the Community College Board in Los Angeles. And he has always been a fiscal conservative. So when he first became governor in 2010, he vetoed the Democratic budget that was given to him by the majority Democrats in his legislature. And they were shocked. It was the first time in history that a sitting governor has done that. And he has followed through on that. So, yes, he understands this problem. When he ran for re-election for his fourth term in 2014, As you recall, he put more money from his campaign. He didn't really campaign himself. He was running against Neil Kashkari. He put all of his money into the campaign for the Rainy Day Fund and building
new dams.
Okay,
so he has the Rainy Day Fund, but isn't he running from some very tough politics,
yes,
really the hottest issue of all, by not reforming the tax system?
Well, one of the hottest issues is the pension system and
sure,
what's going to happen with pensions.
Yeah.
And I don't think—
That's still around.
Yeah, that is still around, and that's going to be around. So—
What about high-speed rail? You know, estimated initially, the voters were told that you could get from Anaheim to San Francisco
yeah,
in 2.5 hours with a budget that's now up to $68 billion. Why does he keep pushing that?
And I know you can now get to Bakersfield, I think.
Yeah,
or that's the
well,
first
if you're really
place
lucky, but
go.
You have to drive your car.
Yeah. I think that's sort of a non-starter in a way. I think he's always been wanting to do that. I've always thought that would be wonderful because I go to the Bay Area a lot, and I'd love to get there by train faster than
sure,
by plane. But it's a tremendous amount of money. And, of course, his cap-and-trade program, which is relying on very heavily for funds for that train, is faltering. So I think if cap-and-trade were to step up and make a difference, then that would be a way to pay for it.
So he's made a difference. He's gotten us away from the failed state of the Schwarzenegger years. But— California is still not out of the woods. And as he says himself, there's a lot of things that could go wrong.
Well, California, it's true. It's not out of the woods in one sense, but in another sense, I mean, in terms of venture capital, in 2015, of $140 billion in venture capital that was handed out in the United States, California got $78 billion of it. So, yeah. And the Silicon Valley is not just high tech, is not just in the Bay Area, but we have a huge, as you know, in Los Angeles. Venice is called Silicon Beach, and you have a knockoff in Orange
County.
You give
Jerry Brown credit for that.
No, I give him credit. No, I don't give him credit for that. I give the state credit for that.
Okay.
I don't give all my credit to Jerry Brown. First of all, he could do nothing without the legislature. The legislature and the people of California deserve, I would say, the lion's share of the credit. He's just guiding the state.
All right. We've talked about the contemporary situation. There's a lot of history, really interesting history in your book. It's a lot of fun to read, and thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Maureen.
The book, California Comeback, How a Failed State Became a Model for the Rest of the Nation, the author, Narda Zacchino. I'm Maureen Olney, and this is All in L.A.